Now, getting out of tricky situations or getting out of sticky situations is sometimes a little tricky, isn't it? Corinne and I and a friend crossed the border from Peru into Bolivia many years ago. It was a remote border crossing. I think we were probably the only foreigners to have used that border crossing in a month or maybe more. It was a very strange border crossing, and it was a really remote place. And as we approached, we actually went on water, so we crossed the border on water. So as we approached, our boat driver said to us, and when we're talking about boat, we're talking about a little dugout canoe, okay? Yeah, you just have to, sorry, I keep forgetting these little details. It's not a yacht, okay? And we're not sitting there, you know, no, this is, anyway. Our boat driver said to us, let me talk to the customs people. But not long after the conversation started, we realised that the driver was in trouble. We weren't, but the driver was. There was something wrong with the process for us to actually cross into another country, and the guy was upset, the customs guy was upset. We thought we had all the paperwork. He'd helped us get all the paperwork, but he didn't have one piece of paperwork which allowed him to take us further into Bolivia to drop us off and then come back across the border. And so we were stuck. He couldn't go any further. We needed to go further. And after a long discussion, they came up with a solution to our problem. Now, it was a great South American solution. All we needed to do was pay $50 and the guards would take us across the border. That was our problem. Now, you can see here, here's the boat that the guards took us downriver in. That was after they dropped us off and left us there. Our tricky situation needed $50 to help us get to the next town. Now, life in South America is full of these sticky and tricky situations. Now, as we come to the last passage in our small series on the Romans Road, remember, this is a refresher for us. It's a refresher on what the good news of Jesus is. And today we come to a part where we actually find the solution to our problem. You'll need to get out your little flyer now. And our first passage tells us that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one meets God's standards. Romans 5 verse 8 says we're told that God provided his son to pay for our sin, pay the punishment for our sin. 6:23 says that if we stay in sin, it leads to death. But there is a gift of God which leads to eternal life. And then last week we saw that if you are in Christ, there is now no condemnation. And as you look at all these passages on this little sheet, we can see our problem, can't we? We can see our problem, we can hear the solution, but then what is our response to be? What is our response? And today we get to the verse which shows us what our response to the good news of Jesus should be. We'll read our verse for this week. Why don't you join me? I think pretty sure it's up there. That's good. It says, Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10 verse 9. Oh, yeah, good. I'll try and remember that today as well. Remember that verse reference. I kept forgetting the other week. So you've all got a Bible open in front of you. That's good. Now, we're going to start by just looking at the context of Romans 10, verse 9. So that's why I wanted you to have a Bible open. And what we see there in Romans 10, 1 to 3, is that this section continues on from chapter 9 as Paul has been speaking about the Israelites and their unbelief. And in chapter 10, verse 1, Paul says his heart's desire is for them, the Israelites, to know Jesus. You can see their zeal, and he says in verse 3 that they're ignorant of righteousness of the righteousness of God, and they've attempted to establish their own righteousness. What he then summarizes in verse 4 is that the only righteousness is that which comes from Jesus Christ. Now, this is different to the righteousness that comes from that Moses wrote about, which comes from the law. that was an external righteousness that shows, it was an external righteousness, and it really only helped to show that we were sinful. It reminds us of the first verse that we saw in the Romans Road in your little sheet there, in your little handout, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone has sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The law of Moses shows this to be true. It shows us our shortcomings. It helps us to see that no one is righteous. And then as you look at Romans 6, 10, 6 to 8, it speaks about a faith that doesn't bring Christ down. It doesn't lift Christ up. But it's a faith that's right here, right now. That's what it's trying to tell us. It's not. We don't have to go looking for it elsewhere. It's right here. It's right now. And we see that as we come to verse 9. What we've seen over the past few sermons is that we are sinners. God is loving. Christ died for us. And in Christ there is no condemnation. And the result of all of that is that faith in Christ is available to all. There's no need to go anywhere to find it. There's no need to make yourself externally righteous. But being made righteous through Christ, through Jesus, is actually available to us right now. And this is where we come to our verse that we're looking at today, verse 9, which is the message of faith that we proclaim. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10, verse 9. So with that context of everything being ready and available, we come to a verse which encourages us to trust in Jesus' gift for you. So let's look at what this verse says. In the outline, in the newsletter, on the inside, you'll see I've got a few little notes there. You can follow along and write some notes for yourself. Confess, believe, so that you will be saved. We're really just following along in Romans 10, verse 9. And our first point there is that there is a need to confess. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Now, first off, confess. What does it mean to confess? Now, to confess, as we see it here, means to profess. It means to proclaim. It means to speak out freely to others. It's not the Roman Catholic tradition of confession to a priest. That's different. We don't practice that here. We take our sins directly to Jesus as our mediator. But this isn't talking about that type of confession. It's talking about acknowledging Jesus and agreeing that with Jesus and professing that you are a worshipper of Jesus. Now, we confess things all the time. When we meet someone new, we say, I'm married. I'm an accountant. I'm not actually, but I'm single. I'm a mum. We confess things all the time. We're declaring publicly who we are. Now, I really enjoy watching detective shows. So I'm currently watching The Mentalist. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's a bit of an old one. But the main character, Patrick, always tries to get people to confess their guilt. Often he gets them to relax and they see the futility of their own guilt, and they just come out and tell everyone what they did. Here in our verse for today, what we see is that we are to come out and confess. It's an out loud verbal confirmation, but what's it a confirmation of? In this first section of the verse, it says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Now, this is an important phrase, isn't it? See, what we need to know is what's going on with the translation here. And so I've got a bit of a slide for you to see. See, the word Lord comes from the Greek word kurios. And the Greek word kurios is what they used in the Old Testament when they translated the word Yahweh, which is the word for Lord, from Hebrew. The Hebrew word Yahweh and they used kurios to translate the Hebrew word Yahweh into Lord. And our English Bibles use that same used the word kurios in the Greek, which we refer to as Lord. You can see that on the screen. And in our English Bibles, when it uses the word Yahweh in our English Bibles, you see this mostly in the Old Testament, because it's Hebrew, it puts the English word Lord in small caps, so we can tell the difference as to which word's actually being used. Now, this is amazing information, isn't it? But what does it actually mean? That's the important piece, isn't it? See, what does it mean when Paul says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord? Well, what you're confessing is that Jesus is God. It means that you don't believe he's an ordinary person like you or me. He's not just someone that's really good. He's less righteous. He's not even someone that's ultra special and did amazing things. No. What we confess is that Jesus is God. He's God in flesh. He's one person of the Trinity. It means that if you confess Jesus is Lord, that you're actually willing to submit to his authority in your life. And that's another important step, isn't it? Realizing that Jesus is Lord is more than just lip service acknowledgement. We can't just say out loud, oh, Jesus is Lord. No, it comes with much more than that, doesn't it? It's a wholehearted commitment to doing what Jesus says and committing to listening to him as Lord of your life. Now, we don't often use the language of Lord today, do we? Maybe if you're English, yeah, the House of Lords. But if you're in the military and you're a private or some other low rank, you don't get to say no to someone of a higher rank. If you do, you then are in rebellion against the general or the major or whoever it is you're speaking to. When the general commands, your role is to obey. There's no way to say no. In essence, the general is Lord of your life. And that's what we see here. Jesus is Lord. We're confessing that Jesus is Lord of our life. Now, some of you may have read Mere Christianity, and in that I think C.S. Lewis described our submission to Jesus like he was renovating a house, and he starts to pull off things, but in time he slowly actually pulls the house down, and it's long and it's painful, but he's turning you into a palace. That's what it means to have Jesus as Lord of your life. You surrender the deed of your life over to him, and he gets to do a complete renovation in your life, making you to be more like him. To confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord is to let him take control. Let him be the boss. Let him make you into a beautiful palace, one that he will dwell in and be with you always. See, that's what it means to confess that Jesus is Lord. That's the first part of our verse. The second part of the verse looks at the word believe. We see that again in verse 9 still. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Now, the word believe here refers to belief in the truth of something. It means to accept or acknowledge something to be true. Now, here we see that there's a need to believe or accept that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, maybe you've heard people ask, well, why the focus on the resurrection of Jesus? We just celebrated Easter, Resurrection Sunday. Why the focus on his resurrection? Well, it's because if you believe in the resurrection, then you also believe that Jesus died. And if you believe that Jesus died, then you also believe that Jesus lived. You see, what we're believing when we say that Jesus rose from the dead and that he is that Jesus is God and he came to earth as a man, lived a perfect life, died a violent death, and was raised to life for your sins. And what we're being told here is that we need to believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And as we believe in his resurrection, we believe in these other things as well. Now, for all of us, there are things that we do believe and don't believe. There might be some controversial things. Maybe some of you are flat earthers. I don't know. I haven't had that discussion with all of you. Maybe there's a few flat earthers in the room. Maybe there's a few skeptics on the moon landing. I mean, we apparently just went to the moon again, as some social media experts are saying. We didn't actually get there, but we went around it. some of those things, they're more controversial. There are some easier things to believe, aren't there? Like, there's milk at the shops. And we go, yes, of course. Oh, and if you get milk, what do? You walk to the shop. You don't even think, oh, will there be milk? Maybe you'll think, will there be petrol or diesel? But will there be milk? Not just yet. Not at the moment. But there are things that are, but there are some things that are dear to our heart that we may or may not believe. Now, if I showed you a picture and told you I made this bed, you might think, I don't know. Now, some of you know the truth behind this story, and others of you don't. Now, I did actually make this bed, and it is in my bedroom. Now, there's a good chance that many of you will believe. Maybe you'll have to ask my family after the church if you are a little bit of a skeptic. But if I said, well, I bought a new car and here it is in my driveway, what do you think? Well, some of you know what our house looks like out the front. It's actually not our house, okay? I did that on purpose. No matter how many times I put this into an AI generator and said, put a Porsche in my driveway, it picked the wrong house every time. Okay? So we have our doubts. As if I'm going to spend this much money on a car when there's still more tools to buy in the garage. It's just a ridiculous thing to think about. What we're being told by Paul is to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, some of you here today might not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And if that's you, then I encourage you to investigate, to think through. Did he rise from the dead? The Bible says that Jesus did rise to life. Historians will tell us that Jesus rose to life. And if you're uncertain, then you need to investigate. This is your chance to turn unbelief into belief. There's great evidence for the resurrection, and it's something that we should know in our hearts to be true. As our verse says, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Just like you can verify that I did really make the bed and put it in my room this week, you can verify whether Jesus really did rise from the dead, and you can come to a belief in your heart that he did. Such wonderful news, and we'll see in a moment just how wonderful this news is. But before we do that, I think we need to consider what it says here and what we saw earlier. And I hope you realise that actually as we look at these two things, believe and confess, the two actually go together, don't they? There's no separating them out. There's no confessing with our mouth and then belief in our heart. They're not separate things, but they go together, don't they? If you say that you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, but you're faced with some sort of trial and then you deny that belief, then is that real belief? Well, probably not. Or if you confess that Jesus is Lord and you've told some people, but actually, well, your character, your heart's lives a life differently. Is that a real confession? Well, probably not. See, when we believe and confess, as we hear in this verse, it's life-changing, isn't it? It's a spirit-led change that we believe is irresistible and God-enabled. We believe that this type of confession comes from the work of God's Spirit in you. It's the transformative work of the Spirit, which is what Romans 8 is all about. It's why we pray for those who don't believe in Jesus. It's why when someone comes to confess and believe, we praise God because it's God's work that's opened the heart and eyes of this person to confess and believe. And it's this turning to Christ and believing and confessing. And this turning to Christ and believing and confessing is effective because it's God at work. God working in the hearts of all people to turn to him, trust him, love him. And it's something that comes from the heart of a spirit-filled believer. Now, this all nicely points us in the direction of the last bit of our verse today. Because spirit-filled believers look forward to a future with the Christ they confess and believe in. It says there, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. The Greek, that's one word in Greek. You will be saved. You will be saved. If you confess and believe, you will be saved. Future passive, which means that God's salvation is given to you, from someone to you. It's God's gift to you. That's what we saw earlier in one of our verses. In Romans 6:23, the gift of God, that's what it's talking about. You will be saved. And this gift is here and now. That's what we see. We saw that it's on offer to all who confess and believe. And what salvation means for you and me is that we're made whole, we're made complete. And maybe you're thinking, well, what's incomplete about our lives? And this is why we want to continue to remind ourselves of the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus. It's why we're looking at this Romans road together to remind ourselves that salvation takes us from Romans 3:23, where all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's our dilemma. That's our sticky situation. And we fall short of God's glory and we're incomplete. But if you confess and believe, then you will be saved. Taken from being enemies with God to being filled with his Spirit so that you are one with Christ. See, to be saved means to be made whole, to be made complete. And we are made complete exactly to who God wants us to be as his Spirit fills us and makes us whole. And this is the good news, isn't it? This is the good news of Jesus. I love the fact that after this passage where we're told where all is clear, that there are no barriers at all to receiving the good news of Jesus, though actually we get to Romans 10 verse 15. And Romans 10 verse 15 says, and how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful indeed. News of salvation ready for us to take to all who are willing to hear and believe. So let me give you a little recap on this series. Grab your flyer. We're going to read these passages together. And we'll start with Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23. We'll start by saying the verse and then we'll read the verse so we're all clear. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 5 verse 8, but God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8 verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, may we believe this good news. May you take this as your own. May you be the bearer of good news as you go out into the world, knowing that through Jesus, those you love can know this amazing news which transforms our whole life. Well, let's pray that Jesus will go before us, preparing hearts and minds to hear this great news, and that many more, maybe even you today, will hear and know the truth of Jesus and his saving work for you and for our friends. Let's pray. Now, Father God, we praise your name because you are a God who has reached out to us. You saw that the only way to bring people back into relationship with yourself was through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we confess and believe this to be true. May it be a message that transforms us from the inside out. Lord, we pray for your church, and we ask that you bring revival into the hearts of those who need to know this great and momentous news. Help us to be the beautiful feet that can take this message to others. We praise your name for such wonderful news. And we pray all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.